Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague are cooling for a cause.
Let us not forget, my fellow American, the sorrow and the heartache which today abide in the homes of so many of our neighbors. Neighbors whose most precious possession has been rendered as a sacrifice to redeem our liberty.
Live from the Jackson's Food Mart off 217 and I-5 in Lake Oswego, Frostbrewed Coors Light presents the 6th annual Coolin' for a Cause, benefiting the Salvation Army's Veterans and Family Center. For more info, go to 1080thefan.com to make a donation and for specials on Frostbrewed Coors Light. Stop by and see us at Jackson's off 217 and I-5 in Lake Oswego. Here are your hosts, Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague on 1080.
Free men of the world are marching together to victory.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two here on The Fan. Hour one is going to be at 1080thefan.com after the show. We're live out here at Bangy Road, the Jackson's in the cooler, the Shell gas station right off of the 217 and I-5 merge. You can just stop in and donate. We just shout out to one of our big P1s, and he's one of the best. P1 Cowboy Greg stopped in with a huge cooler of vegetables and meat, and we couldn't say thank you enough to him. Always been so gracious to donate money and come help us out when we do this. We appreciate it. Thank you, Greg, for that. And the fine folks out at the Veterans Center at Salvation Army really is going to appreciate that donation by him.
Yeah, you can drop off cash, or like P1 Cowboy Greg, he heard the call earlier to come pick up. They're really going to want some meat, some vegetables, that kind of stuff. And shout out to him, man. He's one of our best P1s. He shows up to almost every event we have. We love seeing him when he stops by. We got to go golfing with him this summer. And that's going to make a lot of people happy. So stop by, pick up Coors Light. We got deals on Coors Light going on inside the cooler with us. P1 Tyler just stopped in and grabbed an 18-pack. So swing by. We'll be out here all afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you to Tyler as well for swinging by. We appreciate it. Okay, a lot to get to here in the second hour. Let's start with the big news of the local news today, and that is that Neil Olshey, the Woj bomb came, probably because he texted Woj and said Neil Olshey of the Blazers was given a contract extension. He will be in Portland till 2024. Obviously, Terry Stotts got his extension. It sounds like Damian Lillard is close to getting his extension. C.J. McCollum may get an extension.
When do I get my extension?
I know, kidding. So, Neil Olshey, 2024, I did a poll question with the show page earlier. Did this Western Conference Finals run change your feelings about Neil Olshey as the GM?
This is really hard to answer. Really hard to answer. First off, I'm partially surprised but not surprised. One, he always, to me, felt like a guy that the second he struck gold in Portland would capitalize and get another job. That just was my perception of him. And it doesn't mean he's not going to leave before 2024 if another gig opens up that wants to hire him. But that to me, was slightly surprising. But the part that wasn't surprising, and it's the same thing with the Terry Stotts contract extension, when you go to the Western Conference Finals, you get rewarded. That's just the way that it works. It's the first time in 19 years that Portland has gone to the conference finals. So, of course, you're going to bring him back as long as he wants to be here. It's tough to say that it changed my opinion. I think with Neil Olshey, you have to eliminate kind of the personal feelings about him and the way that he talks to the media and the fans and the ways that he can be condescending. And I know a lot of fans get frustrated by that, myself included. And it's almost like with any big decision, you got to do like a pros and cons list. Like, do I want to quit this job? Do I want to move to this city? Well, what are the pros? What are the cons? And he's got both categories. You know, the pros have been his drafting. You got to give him credit there, whether it's the franchise guys like Damon CJ or finding, you know, guys like Jake Lehman or Connaughton in the second round that have had small impacts for the team. Finding the guys kind of off the scrap heap that can have a big help. You know, Rodney Hood and his cancer, Seth Curry. He's done a great job in that. The big negative has been the contracts that he's handed out. Some of them are easy. Dame, you know, the NBA writes that contract for you. Anybody can hand it to him. But the Evan Turner contract, the Myers deal, the Mo Harkless one, the Allen Crabb one, which is he was thankfully able to get rid of, those have been his downfall. And I don't necessarily have a problem extending him. I do, though, look at the next 12 months or so and think that's going to define his legacy in Portland and almost define the Damian Lillard era of Blazer basketball, because wow, you have a chance this offseason and the deadline with expiring deals to swing them into something more meaningful. If you don't, then you're going to have next offseason with close to $40 million coming off your books before the Dame deal kicks in, and I think before the CJ extension would kick in as well, to go out and get that extra piece that you clearly need to be able to win a title. And I think that's going to define if he's the legendary guy that can get this organization its first title, or if it's just going to be a good perennial playoff team that can't quite get over the hump.
Yeah, I don't really have any personal feelings towards him because I've never met him. I mean, he couldn't pick me out of a lineup. He's never probably heard my name ever in his life. I have opinions about him, though, and my opinions have varied. Yeah, we have people that text in and be like, eat crow, or when the Blazers suck, there's no text at all, and there's the anti-crowd as well, and, you know, I've gone back and forth. It's like, look, when you get swept as a three seed, I think it's absolutely within the right of the media and the fans to go, what the hell are you guys doing? This is embarrassing. And give them a lot of credit. They are a patient bunch. They are going to see this thing through. They did not panic, nor did they change their direction, and it worked for them this year. They got to the Western Conference Finals. I don't know if there's really any big move to be made. You would look – I feel like if you traded CJ, if you brought that topic back up, you'd get a lot of pushback against that because that helped you get to where you were this year. So that's – and that, by the way, that's never going to be in the cards for him unless something drastic is going on with the people above him. So my thing has always been very back and forth opinions on Neil O'Shea. The one thing I will maintain, and I've always maintained this, I think he's a very competent GM who you do appreciate having. Now, has he delivered the big celebrity or big superstar player? No. Outside of drafting, no. But really nobody has. He was in way over his skis when he got here and thought he could do it. He realized quickly he couldn't. And now it's been about building, as he mentioned, on the fly and drafting and developing guys. That can be frustrating at times because development takes time and there's games where you lose and you go, what the hell?
Yeah, you got to be patient.
But overall, go look at Washington, who they were thrown out this morning as rumored to be trying to get him. And then I think right after that report got leaked, about an hour later, Woj tweeted the Blazers gave Neil O'Shea an extension. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think Neil got wind of Washington's interest in him, passed that along to Jody Allen and Burt Cold and everybody over there, and they said, well, let's get the extension done.
Yeah, make sure you're locked up.
And here you go. And Washington, by the way, can't find a GM. So,
well, I think because of the John Wall deal, nobody wants that job.
Well, that's true, but, I mean, look, not Atkinson. Marks. Sean Marks, he's the GM of Brooklyn. He took that job when they had no draft picks. They had no money freed up.
That's true.
And he turned that around. So I don't know if that is the only thing that keeps people away. He is good at what he does. And I don't know if I agree with a 12-month window. I would more so say 24 months, because we'll see what they do next year. And if they get bounced early, at that point as a fan, just me personally, I'm like, let's make a big move here. And if he doesn't, then I think it tells you all you need to know that he's going down with the ship with that core three.
Yeah, and I think the reason why I said that, though, too, is because that's the window in which you're going to have money to spend. The last time that you had that window, you blew it. And that's the reason Portland, going into an offseason like this, has no flexibility whatsoever. It's because you went out and gave the deal to Evan Turner. You gave an $11 million deal a year to Myers Leonard and a $10 million a year to Mo Harkless. And you signed the offer sheet that Brooklyn gave Allen Crabb, or you matched it or whatever. You gave him whatever it was, $17 million a year. So that's the reason you're in the position you are right now. And you have been for the last 4 years with no flexibility, which makes you realize kind of how much of a miracle it was that they had the season they did last year. And it was only because of the Cantor and Hood findings, kind of, you know, under the radar guys that their teams had given up on them, and Neil was able to capitalize. And it goes back to my thinking We talked about this a couple of days ago. I just don't think that's a consistent formula. There's not going to be a Cantor and a Rodney Hood there every year at the trade deadline to come in and save your season. You're not going to stumble in to a Yusuf Nurkic deal every year at the deadline to save your season. That, to me, is not a reliable way to contend every single season. You need to have more stability from start to finish. And whether it's trading those expirings or letting them expire and then smartly spending that money, like, there's going to be so much more pressure on him, because in 3 years, Damian Lillard's going to go from making, what, $30 million a year to $47 million a year. And C.J. McCollum might get an extension this summer, and he makes, I think, 28, what, an extra $10 million or whatever he's going to make, right? I mean, so that's going to eat up a big chunk of your salary cap. And if you just sign one bad deal next summer, you could have $40 million to spend. If you go out there and blow it on one bad guy that comes back to bite you in the ass, there goes your chance at competing. So it's really going to come down to him being smart with his money, learning from his mistakes, and not duplicating them.
Yeah, that summer 16, man, we just – it's hard to get over that, because you just look back and you're like, why did they have to be 4 years? Why couldn't those be two-year deals?
Yeah.
You know, and I got that. That team was a great story. He probably felt really good about that, and he should. He's a GM. When you put something together and you watch them achieve excellence, it probably gives you this euphoric feeling of, oh, my God,
yeah,
I really nailed this. We identified this as an organization. This is awesome. But instead of reacting to the 16 or the 15 season and going, okay, these guys were good, but I know they're really not game changers. Let's give them two-year deals. He said, oh, this is amazing. This core is going to take us places. Here's four-year deals. And then it quickly didn't work. And you mentioned the Nurk deal. The Nurk deal, again, this is weird. He, as much as he is to blame, you also have to give him a tremendous amount of credit, right? Those four-year deals were terrible, but then he saved him and got Nurk.
Right.
And without the Nurk trade,
that team's
in
the lottery.
That
team's in the lottery.
Without a doubt. And so he kind of creates his own problems, and you just hope the more
digs out of it.
Yeah, he digs out of it, and you just hope that at some point he hits right and he takes you to where you need to go. I think it's a good move. I thought it was a good move by the team. You may not like him personally. How many of you really know him personally? But you may not like his image. But overall, the dude is really smart in basketball and has done a good job of keeping it consistent. We'll read some thoughts at this, the Better You Today text line at 55305. As we continue on, we got a lot more to get to as well. We're out here at Jackson's off Bangy Road in Lake Oswego. Thank you to one of our listeners. I didn't see a name, but thank you to one listeners that said they stopped in, dropped off some clothes. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. The Veterans Center is looking for vegetables, meat, and cash donations. If you guys have housing supplies or clothes, feel free to drop those off as well. We're hanging out today for a Coolin' for a Cause. We're back with more on The Fan.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back in. Sorry about that a little bit. We're having a good time talking with Crystal at the Salvation Army's Veteran and Family Center in Beaverton.
Come stop by. Say hello.
Guys, I can't tell you more how much they appreciate everything that you guys have done thus far. The smiles on their faces and how happy they've been. Thank you to everybody that's been able to stop in for a few minutes and donate great things and try to help out as much as possible. We greatly appreciate that, and they appreciate it even more. We were talking about Neil Olshey getting extended.
Yes.
Let's read some thoughts of the Better You Today text line.
We're reaching the part of the show where we can no longer talk.
Yeah, my brain is getting frozen. Also, by the way, specials on Coors and Coors Light out here. So
the Banquet beer.
Step on in. All right, here we go. Let's see. Those deals sucked. You're talking about the four-year deals, but I can never say a bad word about Evan Turner again after Game 7 in Denver. Hey, you know the funny thing about that? That's a good point, because that deal still sucks. Those contracts still suck. And, again, this is the Neil Olshey conundrum, if you will. Those players largely have not lived up to what the value of those contracts are that he shelled out.
No, I think all three of them, you could say they haven't.
Right. But do you know what all three have done is they've had big moments.
Sure.
You know, like,
sure,
Evan Turner in Game 7 was probably the most locked in of all of them until CJ got going.
Yeah, and without his fourth quarter, they probably don't win that game.
Mo's had some good moments. And then Myers back-to-back games in the sweep.
Hashtag blessed.
Right? So, like, again, he creates his own problems, and then he gets himself out of his own problems. And so I think that's a good way of putting it, where that listener might be on a bit of an island where it's like, I can't say a bad word because of the Game 7 in Denver, and I get that. But largely, Evan Turner has not lived up to that contract, and I'd be willing to wager that Neil understands that he can maybe try to deal Evan this summer to try to help the team.
Yeah, I'd use it as an expiring. I have no problem with the extension in the short term. I just think you continue to grade with every passing year, and the opinions can evolve and they can change pretty rapidly. I think a prime example of that is a guy that maybe 2 years ago was lauded as the next big thing, a genius. Look how aggressive he is. Look at all these smart moves that he's making. And that's Daryl Morey in Houston. I mean, he was the next big thing in the NBA. He's challenging.
He still is to people.
Sure, to some people. He's challenging Golden State, and look what he's done with the Rockets and all these smart trades. I mean, you look at Houston's situation right now. There's reports out that CP3 and Harden were butting heads all year. They can't get along. CP3 now looks like he's on the wrong end of Father Time, and he's not the player that he used to be. Clint Capella was this next, great big center who's going to have a big impact. They gave him a big contract. He was unplayable at times against Golden State. So it's funny how you can have an opinion about a guy and then just, 2 years later it can change and evolve. And right now, I think most Blazer fans would be positive about Neil O'Shea. And it comes down to, will you go out and capitalize on expiring contracts and find a way to turn it into a difference maker? Or if you don't and they expire, can you find that next piece? Because if there's anything we learned about the conference finals, it's that Portland is close. Like Damon, CJ, and you're close. You didn't have Nurkic, but they didn't have KD and Iguodala and
Boogie.
Did you
feel that way? You really did walk away from
Golden
State?
No, I mean close in terms of you're not close to Golden State, but you're at least in that next tier. Like you've upped yourself from a team who can't win in the playoffs to a team that can. You just can't beat Golden State, which is a category that a small number of teams are in. You need more, though. Like this team can't beat Golden State, and Golden State's likely going to at least keep Steph, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green next year. And they had them against you, and it wasn't enough. So you need to make that next move, and that's, I think, is Neil O'Shea's next job.
Well, as we sit right now, I saw this from Keith Smith, who we've had on several times before. He writes for the NBA at large. Keith Smith was doing some, like, cap stuff, and Portland right now, $19 million over the cap.
Yeah.
Now, the good news for them, despite being over the cap, is that of, the six, seven teams he listed over the cap, they were like the most successful one. So at least we're winning, right? We're over the cap. We're spending a ton of money. At least they're winning at a high clip. It's just going to be how can he improve? Because I know, guys, this is going to sound weird, and bear with me here. The team got to the West Finals. I got a taste. I want more. Like, don't you guys want a championship? Like, that run was fun in itself.
You want to at least get back there. I mean, so, now that's kind of the marker. You got to the conference finals.
So why I mentally know he's not going to trade Nurk and CJ, and this is the three, and that's his choice. It's his team. But I'm wondering, what is he going to do with the other parts of the roster, as you mentioned, to maybe try to just add a piece that, for whatever reason, makes a difference. KD goes to New York. Golden State still has Klay, Steph, and Draymond, and they're going to be amazing in the favorites. But they're still going to lock those guys up, and they're not going to have any cap space. So maybe depth wins out, or whatever it takes. I want him to continue and not go, well, we're just going to bring everybody back, and we can do this again. That's not a given. If the Rockets are on the other side of the bracket and not on Golden State's, do you beat them?
Yeah, in the second round, we don't know.
I don't know about that. So keep plugging away. He's doing a good job, but keep plugging away. And you hope that he learned from the summer of 16, and now the way that he goes about doing things financially works in your favor.
Yeah, you don't want to be – I think your point on him, creating mistakes and then getting out of them is a valid one, and he's done a good job of that. I want him to get to a point, though, where there's not mistakes to get out of, where you're not having to save your season with picking up a Rodney Hood, or save your season by trading for Yusuf Nurkic and not really knowing what he's going to turn into. You want to get to a more stable position if you're in Portland. And this really is, I think, the fun part about – it sucks because it feels like every year we do, well, wait till next year. Next offseason. And I remember last year when they got swept, having some, you know, some national expert on, and he came on and said, well, next offseason is going to be the year where they can dump contracts. And now it feels like we're doing it again. Next offseason's the big one. But really, once you get out of this kind of window, whether you move these contracts or not, because if you do, you're only doing it if you're getting value in return. But if you don't, you stand pat, you're going to be in a position next offseason where your hands are going to be untied. And you're going to have a chance to go out there and make a real big impact on the roster. You just don't want him to then retie his hands behind his back.
Yes.
And have to then, you know, create another problem that you have to get out of. That's why really the next 12 months to me are extremely exciting to think, exciting and nerve-wracking a little bit to think of what the roster could possibly look like.
Here's one thought. This team with Nurkic can beat Golden State if they don't have Durant next year. And that, I think that's the other thing, too, is Nurkic's
See, but the Nurkic, I don't like doing the Nurkic Warriors. They didn't have Kevin Durant, Boogie,
I know, but
or Andre Iguodala in game
four. His
point
is next year.
Sure. Sure. I do think Nurkic makes it gives you a better chance to win, but if you're going to point out Nurkic not being in the lineup, you have to point out Kevin Durant wasn't in the lineup.
Can I ask you an honest question?
Sure.
If you made $120 million, would you ever not fly first class?
No.
Okay.
No, why?
I asked that because CJ McCollum just tweeted, writing in seat 20 like your favorite Instagram thought on this plane. Tried to go to the toilet in first class. Flight attendant reminded me 'twas for premium first class passengers only and blocked the door. And my first thought was, this is a funny story. But, dude, you made 120
what?
Mil.
Why?
What? Get a private jet, dude, or go in first class. What are we doing here?
What are we doing, CJ? Come on, man.
I don't think I'd ever ride coach again if I got $100 million.
There is, like, nothing worse in life than flying coach on an airplane. That is, like, bottom of the barrel things you would ever want to do. And if you had money, no, there's no reason to ever fly coach.
Well, I was going to say, I don't mind coach, but when you have money, there's probably nothing worse. And he's riding coach. CJ McCollum, man of the people. What do you want to do next?
We got a whole bunch of things we could do.
We have a ton of options here.
We could do all NBA teams. We could talk about the Houston issue. We could make fun of the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
There's all sorts of avenues we can go down.
10,000 days since the playoff win.
What? How is that possible?
Let's do the Clay stuff.
Okay.
KD responded, by the way, today and, of course, did not make himself sound any better. And then Clay Thompson was pretty disgusted when he found out live that he was not on the all-NBA first, second, or third team. And he makes a pretty good point. We'll talk about that next.
Welcome back in. 1:34, hanging out in a cooler. We got some listeners in here picking up some Coors Light. Loving it. Loading up for the Memorial Day
yes.
weekend. This is awesome. Yeah. We are cooling for a cause like year six, year five,
nice to
year
meet
six,
you guys.
Something like that. We've been doing this for a number of years, and we enjoy it every single year. For the listeners, whether you're stopping by, loading up on Coors Light for the weekend, dropping off a cash donation for the Salvation Army Veterans and Family Center. They're looking for clothes and blankets if you got them, or even just simpler, if you want to stop by a grocery store, load up on some meat and some veggies like P1 Cowboy Greg did, drop those off as well. Anything helps going into the weekend.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate everything you guys are doing to help us make this better and better every year. A couple things we dropped the ball on this year, and I would like to apologize on behalf of our radio station because it's a team effort on that end. But for the most part, Veterans Center is great. We always appreciate teaming up with them. Thank you for rolling out here. You guys are the best. And we're going to hear some great stories later on. And thank you to listeners. You guys, you're always there for us. And that's why we're the sports leader here. And we never take it for granted.
Yeah, Kyle Nemper texted me. He said he wants me to take it easy on his Lions today. I will not take it easy on the Lions.
Okay. Let me say this real quick. You chose to root for a team because you're college quarterback got drafted by him.
That's on you.
And then you didn't abandon him once your college quarterback
you
was not good.
No, you jumped ship. Okay, I like the Titans. Once Mariota's gone, I'm off that bandwagon. Okay,
you have
the organization sucks.
You have zero ties to having to be a Lions fan. You choose to be that misery.
Yeah.
You get everything that comes your way.
They hit a historic number yesterday. It blew my mind. It shouldn't.
Blew my mind, too.
But it did, and I want to talk about that. Let's get to this, though. So yesterday, the All-NBA teams were announced. Damian Lillard made second team, and these have a big deal with the Supermax contracts in the NBA under the new CBA. Well, one guy that was left off was Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors, and he actually found out during his press, he was talking to reporters, and he found out, and here's how it sounded.
I mean, that's cool and all, but, like, when you go to five straight finals, I respect those guys, but holy, when you go to five straight, I mean, it takes more than just a couple of NBA guys. It's like an all-time team, but whatever. That's not I'd rather win a championship than be third team All NBA. So it's all good. It is what it is. You know, I can't control it. Do I think there's that many guards better than me in the league? No, but that's the reason why we're still playing. So I don't even want to get into it, honestly.
But, I mean, this has a huge impact. So it's one thing.
Klay Thompson.
Like, if it's just an award, it's not a big deal, right? I mean, if it's just like, oh, the guy didn't get enough MVP votes or he wasn't an all-star, whatever. But when you're dealing with the new CBA and the Supermax contract, so Klay Thompson not making it, everybody thought he would. And it was going to be a five-year, $221 million contract. That's what he was going to sign. Not being on an All-NBA team, now he can sign a five-year, $191 million contract. That cost him $30 million this offseason, which goes back to Bobby Marks earlier this week telling us it's one of the dumbest things he thinks the NBA has ever done. But you understand the frustration when guys don't get selected. They feel like they deserve it because it's costing them a lot of money.
Yeah, and look, I think Klay Thompson's exactly right. There aren't that many guards better than him. He is criminally underrated on that team. For all the talk about KD, Draymond is getting a lot of love right now, and deservedly so, and Steph as well. Klay continues to kind of be one of those glue guys that just is an afterthought, almost in a sense. And I think he's got every right to be upset because he should be making one of the All-NBA teams. He is an amazing two-way player. He never really misses games. He's there all the time. And winning, going to five straight finals and potentially winning four or five, which is what they would do if they win.
Yeah.
He's right. You don't just do that with a bunch of bums. You're doing that with, like, legit All-NBA guys.
It takes at least three of them, and that's just the way it works.
And I think also, not only that, I think his anger is kind of turned towards the $30 million. That dude knows. His agent probably told him, hey, if you make it, you're getting an extra $30 million out of this deal.
Yeah.
And then you find out you didn't, and some of the players that you know around this league you've locked up or that you're better than did, that's frustrating. I don't know what the solution would be outside of the league taking All-NBA away from Supermax eligibility because I don't think the voting's wrong. The current voting system is not perfect, but what would your alternative be? Because if it's the media that you would point the finger at, so you want the players making the votes?
Right, because I know. I know.
I don't think there would be anything worse for the league than the players making the votes.
The weird thing about the NBA is having, like, standard set contracts. Like, that's a max deal.
Yeah.
Like, no other sport has that. You have your league minimum that you can give a guy, but there's not, like, a quarterback's max.
No.
You know, there's not a
they don't say, hey, you can't pay this right. high percentage above the cap or whatever.
You leave it up to the organization. Yes. A guy, like, yeah. if you want to be able to convince a guy to come back and stick in your market, because the whole reason they did this was to try and get guys to stay
yes.
in small markets. It was the Kevin Durant thing where they didn't want guys jumping ship. So, hey, you can offer them an extra $30 million from what
really
they can
the
get.
It was really the LeBron
thing. The LeBron thing,
they didn't
sure.
want you to lose a guy.
So you want to be able to keep them. And I understand that aspect, and you should be able to do that. That, to me, has always been the weird thing about the NBA, though, that there's a max contract. The guy's a max. Okay.
Well, there's max, and then there's a super
max. Now there's a super max, an extra 30. So here are the guards that made it, and who would we take off? So first team was James Harden and Steph Curry.
No.
Right? I mean, you're not – right? Second team was Kyrie Irving, Damian Lillard.
Kyrie Irving.
You put Klay Thompson ahead of Kyrie.
Look, Kyrie Irving statistically had a good year, very worthy of being in it. But if you're – when you say All-NBA, this is what's the problem is – a lot of guys go off stats. Like, did you look at any of the votes? So, the guys who were fringe or didn't make it, they showed the votes. Dwayne Wade got an All-NBA vote.
I saw that, yeah.
Dwayne Wade. Over
yeah.
Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that needs to be weeded out. You need to figure out how to get rid of that, and you need to be able to take that person's vote away or suspend them or warn them.
Yeah.
Because that's despicable. But the Kyrie Irving thing statistically deserved to make it. But I would take into account when you go all NBA, I think leadership, I think dealing with media, I think all that stuff should go into play too.
How about playing defense?
Well, and that as well. Kyrie's never going to be on an all NBA defensive team.
Right. Why don't we count that more in the NBA? It's funny. We had a listener text in earlier. The reason Kawhi Leonard doesn't get attention is because people don't pay enough attention to defense.
Yeah.
I guess he's a tremendous defensive player. And the third team guards were Kemba Walker and Russell Westbrook. So it was Westbrook, Walker.
I would have taken Westbrook. I still think Westbrook's a really good player, Westbrook statistically was trash this year.
Yeah, outside of the triple-double numbers that he put up, you look at the field goal percentage, effective field goal percentage.
He shot 20% from three. Yeah. He shot like 60% on the season from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Sub 50% from the field. Like, at some point, the percentages have to matter, not just what your averages are per game.
Yeah. And I think if you're Golden State, though, are you sitting around pretty pumped about this?
Well, I mean, they're still under a little worried.
I mean, they're under some financial tightness. I mean, you got Steph, who has the biggest contract in the NBA right now, I think, until Giannis signs his deal.
Yep.
You got to sign Draymond Green. He's going to be a free agent.
He's going to get a similar deal to Klay.
But you were looking at having to get Klay Thompson the max because he's not, or the super max, because if he was first team or all NBA, whatever, he's going to get $221. He's not going to accept less than that. He wants his payday. Now it's only $191. So it doesn't mean it's easy, but at least it saved Golden State some money.
Well, I think that's the bright spot, if there's any. And again, I'm acknowledging how great they are because they just swept our ass out of the playoffs. Your only hope is KD leaves, and now they are basically going to be financially tied to three players.
Yeah, that's it. And then you got to find.
Yeah, they're going to find the diamonds in the rough. The Kevon Looney's, the Alphonso McKinney's of the world.
Jordan Bell, you get him on a rookie deal.
And hope to God that all those guys just fit in really well and hit big shots for him.
Yeah, let's get to, there's a couple other fallouts from the All-NBA teams. One guy that can strike big if he decides to stay in his market. The contract that Giannis is now available for is pretty mind-boggling, so I want to get to that a little bit. So we'll continue on the All-NBA stuff and the contract fallout from it. Also, there is trouble in Houston. A report came out yesterday that doesn't make it look good for CP3 and James Harden. We'll get to those next. Crunch time. We're live out here at the Jacksons off of Bangy Road. Stop by, say hello, donate whatever you can to the Salvation Army Veterans and Family Center. It is all greatly appreciated going into the Memorial Day weekend. Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. I was out at the Glorious House of Gains last night.
Let's Woo! Go!
Does that count? There you go. Going to play 36 holes of golf this weekend. Let's go.
Even
be
in
active.
The rain?
Not playing tomorrow. I think Sunday, Monday are supposed to be dry.
I don't trust these weather reports right now.
It changes like every 4 hours.
Dude, it keeps raining. It's like, what the hell?
Did you see the big breaking news on the Pac-12 today?
Gotta admit, no, I did not.
This is pretty monumental stuff. Swag, do we have the breaking news sounder? It's a big deal. Did you know that Arkansas Little Rock's now a part of the Pac-12?
I thought you said the big news because that's something I did see, and now I'm really mad at you. This is stupid, by the way.
We apparently there's only like 5 teams in the Pac-12 that have a wrestling program.
Yes.
And Arkansas Little Rock's now going to wrestle in the Pac-12 conference.
They did not have a conference in the Pac-12 on the West Coast at Arkansas. Hey, Arkansas, why don't you come hang out with us?
How brutal is that for them? They got to fly all that way.
How about brutal is that for people over here? They got to fly to Arkansas?
I don't think there'll actually be anything in Arkansas, will there? I guess they have to host a couple
home
of
meets, man.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. I saw that today. I was like, wait a minute, what? And the collection's really weird. I'll find it. I don't have it in front of me right now, but like the collection of Pac-12 wrestling schools is
the most. Does Oregon have one?
No, I think they shut it down.
Did Oregon State's get shut down? They had one when I went there.
Hold on. They still have it?
So
okay.
So OSU's one of them.
So, yeah, Little Rock.
Arkansas, Little Rock. Nothing screams Pacific Coast more than Arkansas, Little Rock.
So they had Boise State was in it, apparently, and then Boise State fell out, and now they're in it. So you have Arkansas, Little Rock, Arizona State, Oregon State, Stanford, Cal State, Bakersfield,
yes,
and Cal Poly. So the only Pac-12 programs are ASU, Oregon State, Stanford, and Cal.
No, Cal State, Bakersfield.
So Arizona State, Oregon State, and Stanford are the only three.
Yes.
Go Beavs.
Shout out to us.
Go Beavs.
I actually think Oregon State's wrestling program has been good.
There you go. How about that?
I'm saying that basically off a hunch and a guess and a feel that
sure.
I thought they were good.
Why not? Sounds about right to me. I'll believe it. I think Oregon got rid of theirs when we copied you and got a baseball team. I think that was the sacrifice.
That was the sacrifice
Oregon had to make. So
how's that working out?
I don't care. So
hey, that's our trash talk.
All right, let's get to this. Some all NBA stuff, as there's a lot of fallouts from it. So we talked about Klay Thompson. He lost $30 million yesterday. Rough day for Klay Thompson. He can only sign for $191. How about Kemba Walker? So him making third-team All-NBA, which is good for Kemba. He's a good player. He's got a good career. He is now eligible for that five-year, $221 million deal. This will be a big test of does the money work? Because he is irrelevant in Charlotte. That organization sucks. They've done nothing during his career. He's a good player, and he would have an impact on a lot of different teams. But does he turn down the extra, whatever, $30, $40 million that he can make in Charlotte to go actually play for a competitor?
Look, I think when you're in the NBA, legacy is always something that people talk about. I have to be honest here. As much as I love winning and I hate losing, there is no chance that if you took who I am and put it in the NBA, I'm turning down $220 million.
So here's the difference. I'm glad I just saw this in front of me. So it is a difference of $80 million.
Yeah, no.
So if he signs the Supermax in Charlotte, he gets 5 years, $221. He can sign not a Supermax, just bird rights with Charlotte for 5 years, $190, which I don't know why you would do that. But if he goes to another team with cap room, he can sign a four-year, $141 million deal. That is an $80 million loss.
That contract's going to be so bad at the end of it, but there is no chance you say no to $221 million.
Isn't that wild?
An $80 million difference? Yeah, no. I don't know what you would say. Like, if you're Kemba, you're in Charlotte, they're not going to get any better because Michael Jordan's a god-awful owner, but we give you $200 million. You're really going to turn that down?
God, that's wild. The other one is, so we know Dame. Dame's obviously eligible for the deal, and he's going to sign it this summer. But Giannis now is eligible for the largest contract in NBA history. So he would sign an extension starting in 2021, which will be worth $247 million.
Yeah.
Get this. This is the annual salary that he's going to make over the 5 years of the deal. Year one, 42.6. Year two, 46. Year three, 49.5. Year four, 52.9. And in the fifth year of that contract, $56.3 million for Giannis Antetokounmpo. 52 and then to 56 in the final year of that deal. The cap's going to be like 114.
Here's the good news, though. It's a five-year deal. Wow. He's only 30 years old.
That's true. I mean, for a younger guy.
He might get two of those contracts.
God, that's wild.
Think about that.
He could. Yeah, he really could.
If they win a title within that Supermax window.
He really could.
Why would you not give that to him again? He might get two Supermaxes. He might get close to like $800 million in career earnings by the end of his career.
That's nuts. So those are some of the fallouts of the all-NBA team selections, one of them being the Blazers and Damian Lillard.
These players work their tails off. They do a lot of good things. They take these deals, and it's smart for them. The NBA's got to figure this out.
You got to.
This
in the next CBA,
problem.
You have to.
This is just too much money. The cap's not rising. And if the cap's not going up, then you're telling a team, hey, this player wants to stay in the city. Great. You can offer them the most money. We'll let you offer them like half of your salary cap. And by the way, now you've paid half your salary cap to one guy. Let's
so
go get
wild.
The other 14 players in the other 50%.
Now, you advocate against it in the NFL because a lot of people have said with these quarterback contracts, you should do a thing where the QB salary doesn't count, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's like a no-countsies. You just pay them whatever you want, and then you got the cap to pay the rest of the guys. Is there something the NBA should do there? Like, should there be a Supermax no-countsies?
That's tough because
because what's the answer then? Like how do you resolve it?
The problem is they've already opened the box, and once you open it, you can't put it back.
Because
right?
if you put it in front of Kemba Walker, you can make this amount in Charlotte, or this amount in L.A. playing with LeBron.
Yeah.
He's gonna go to L.A. 10 times out of 10. The only thing that could get him to stay in Charlotte is $80 million extra.
Unless he just loves Charlotte, yeah.
Unless that rarely happens with guys who have never had success.
Well, this
in their
seems
career.
Like an easy fix, guys. It would just be the only amount that counts against the salary cap is what the other teams could sign him for. So that extra bonus for the home team to keep him doesn't count against your salary cap.
Yeah, Simmons.
I'd be okay with that.
Simmons' idea was basically the you top it at the percentage. Like, hey, only 30%
can go against the cap.
And you can still pay them the extra, and that doesn't count against your cap.
So, but then here's the other issue, though, is when you have a team like Golden State, how many guys can you do that for?
Well, Golden State's going to do it. They're going to pay the tax.
Is it anybody that's an All-NBA guy? Can you choose to do it for non-All? Is it only All-NBA guys?
The Supermax?
Yeah, I mean, can you just, like, so Steph and Clay and KD and Draymond, like, all these guys can earn that same percentage, and then you can pay them as much as you want over the top?
Let me look it up. I believe the Supermax specifically is for All-NBA eligibility. Let me double-check that. I might be wrong, and Tex, please, could probably incorrect that, too. But I'm not sure that they can apply if they don't make it.
We all know and we all agree. You have to do something about
right,
it.
But here's the other problem, too, though. Let's take Portland. Portland's going to give Dame this $191 million deal.
4 years, $191.
That's going to kick in what, 2 years?
2021. So he has 2 years left on his deal. He's making just about $30 million shy of that, and it's going to up to the first year of that deal to $47
million. So from 2 years right now, Damian Lillard will start making $47 a year. If you retroactively go back and you say, hey, this only counts against X percentage against your cap, what are you telling the other teams who have already started paying that and they've lost a year or two paying the Supermax? And, oh, by the way, you've paid 17% more on your cap than the other teams in the future that pay the Supermax.
Or because you had to sign it and the new rules didn't exist, you had to let a free agent go because you couldn't afford him.
You can't retroactively please those teams. That's actually probably going to piss some teams
off. It's going to be really tough. But then you look at, like, Milwaukee, it's no joke. He's, like, in the final, I don't know what the cap will be that year, but in 2021, it's projected to be about 114. Mm-hmm. The final year of his deal, which would be 2 years after that, he's going to make $56 million. That is almost half your cap.
Even if you were optimistic.
What is that, 48% of your, right?
Yeah, I mean, it would be crazy. Even if you're optimistic, Dirt, I think by the end of that contract, the cap could be at 121.
Sure, maybe 2 years later.
It's not jumping how people thought it would be, so
it's still almost 50% of your salary cap.
God, that's so much.
Like, how are you supposed to build? It's just wild. So there are some of the fallouts. Kemba Walker could lose $80 million if he decides to go to a contending team, which he will be sought after, and Giannis is going to make a ton of money. Dame is another one of those guys who is now eligible. $191 million contract extension. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 a month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. We're out at the Jacksons off of Bangy Road. We're hanging out. We're in a cooler, freezing in here, and we will be for another hour. Stop by, benefiting the Salvation Army Veterans and Family Center. They're taking cash donations, clothes, household items, meat, vegetables, anything you can. Bring by. We greatly appreciate it. We continue to see P1 stop in and drop stuff off, pick up Coors Light for the long weekend.
You guys are the best, man.
Our listeners are awesome, and you remind us of it every single year as we do this Coolin' for a Cause event. Hey, loaded final hour. We got Sprague and the Line coming up at 2:30. Get our gambling picks ready. I do want to get to the Houston situation. That's an interesting one to me. Like, how does that play out this offseason? I want to talk about that. Also, some people want us to take it easy on the Detroit Lions. I will not take it easy on the Detroit Lions.
Is there more than one Lions fan out there?
I think there's probably two.
Have
gotta
you
be
heard
two.
From anybody else?
No, it's just Kyle Knepper.
But Lions fans aren't real.
The Lions hit a number. Let's start the final hour there. The Lions hit a number yesterday that blew my mind, but there's a team with a bigger number than them. Can you name that team?
In the NFL?
In the NFL.
Okay.
Okay? So I'll explain the number, what it is, and you got to guess who the team is that has a longer drought than they do. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.